You're listening to the Monocle Arts Review, first broadcast on the 6th of March 2015 on Monocle 24.
Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. This is your daily appointment with our international critics and cultural experts to find out the shows to see, the books to read, and of course the music to hear each week. Today, we're going to be sifting through some of the week's silver screen highlights with Karen Krasanovich, including Oscar-winning Still Alice, robot thriller Chappie, and a runner-up in this year's Academy Awards for Best Foreign Language Film, Wild Tales. That's all to come here on the Monocle Arts Review. Karen, welcome to the Monocle Arts Review. Welcome back to Midori House, but your first ever Arts Review.
This is exciting. Yeah, I'm very excited, actually.
It's a new thing, but it's just like the old thing. Should we begin with one of sort of the most exciting Oscar wins in terms of, you know, the excitement around Julianne Moore when she won, the fact that it was, in some ways, people would say, you know, it was, you know, beyond time when she was, it was somewhat overdue win for Julianne Moore, arguably. You're sort of going,
Well, yes, I suppose that's true. It's difficult because it was a very, very, I mean, this year particularly, every single one of the Oscar nominations were amazing. I mean, they're all very, very worthy. And in a way, you always say, well, the nomination is just as good as the award. Obviously, it's not. But she has done some amazing, consistent work. I mean, she started out in television. And actually, she came to the fore in Shortcuts, which is the Altman movie, where she spent about, I think it was a long scene, several minutes, where she's ironing with nothing on from the waist down.
And that works for some people.
Well, you know, and a similar thing happened in Inherent Vice, and it wasn't as good. But she was able to act through that or act with that and gained my respect. And I think ever since then, she has just done amazing work. Children of Men, she was in. You could just keep...
Magnolia.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fantastic in Magnolia. Mm-hmm. Absolutely fantastic. This film is Still Alice, based on a book which has sold many, many, many copies. And it's about a woman who discovers she is suffering from Alzheimer's.
Yeah. She's an academic. And she's a linguist, if I remember correctly. She's got a very successful life. She's beautiful. She's trim. She has very successful children. She has a successful husband. Lives in a beautiful home, and is diagnosed with Alzheimer's, ALS. And she starts to lose her identity, lose herself. And this is what the story is about. It's everybody's worst nightmare, really. When you think... being physically debilitated is one thing, but being mentally, losing yourself, as it were, is something we're all terrified of.
Let's hear a little bit from that film.
I can't remember appointments, words.
Honey, we all have memory lapses. That's a sign of getting older. The other day, I couldn't remember the word, glucose.
It's not like that. It's like something just drops out under me.
But there is no diagnosis yet.
No.
Well, then I think that this is ridiculous.
Damn it! Why won't you take me seriously? No, I know what I'm feeling. Everything I've worked for in my entire life is going. It's all going.
Julianne Moore in Still Alice, and you also heard there Alec Baldwin playing her husband. Alec Baldwin has also been winning some plaudits for this role. It's an un-Baldwin-like role, really, isn't it?
That's right. He's not really allowed to ham it up much. We always associate him with comedic roles or roles that are outrageous. And here it really shows that he's a good actor. He really is. In fact, everybody's really good. I think Kate Bosworth is very good. Kristen Stewart's very good. It's an immaculate cast. I mean, the one thing about it that it's co-directed. Two directors, and they primarily work in television. And it does have a bit of a televisual look to it. But you'll notice that they're very clever with the framing. So, for example, the family will be off in the corner talking about Alice, and Alice will be over sitting in a cardigan. And there was a discussion that this is a little bit of a cardigan movie. Even though she's very, very glamorous, she's still wearing the cardigans of sadness, which is not to downplay, because actually this is a very... It's an important film to see. And in a way, it's part of the genre of The Notebook and other films about aging. This is something that isn't glamorous. It happens for more people more often, or maybe we're just more aware of it. But it's an important film to see and bring this kind of thing out into the open.
I do wonder, though, whether actually there'll be a number of people who perhaps should see it who won't, because it is so sad. I mean, I've seen the trailer in a cinema, and you're in this theatre, and the trailer happens and everyone is silent. You know the way that often with trailers, some people talk through them, there's a bit of rustling. Everyone was silent for this. And at the end, there's just a few little sobs, and you look around and there's a few people teary just watching the trailer.
Yeah. Well, so many people that I know are struggling either with parents or spouses or other acquaintances that are suffering from Alzheimer's, from dementia. It's almost like if you think if you're going to watch this movie, it's going to happen to you. But it does show you. One of the things, I mean, it is a Hollywood movie. She does look amazing and glamorous, even at the very end. But it does take you through these steps, and it also addresses the genetic testing aspect of it. So in a way, this is a very important film to see. It's not exactly entertaining, but it's something that everybody should at least consider.
You know, obviously, she won the Oscar as Best Actress for it. You mentioned that there were some very good performances from, you know, the other main actors in the film. Is this a Julianne Moore vehicle, that she is brilliant, but the film is good? Or does her brilliance actually make the film very, very good?
That's a very good way of putting it. It's kind of a 3-star film with a 5-star performance, if that helps. There are certain vehicles, like, for example, out this week as well as Kill the Messenger, which we're not going to talk about, which is an amazing film because Jeremy Renner is amazing in it.
Mm.
And it's an important story, but it's not, you know, cinematically.
Well, often felt like, you know, There Will Be Blood. Was, you know, Daniel Day-Lewis's performance was incredible, but the film...
Yes, it's not to everyone's taste. And personally, I liked it a lot.
Okay.
but no, that's fine. It's a lot of times these stories are so important. They need to be told. And if an actor picks them up, they get told.
Okay, let's move on to Chappie. Before we talk about it, let's hear a bit.
Chappie, if you want to be in the gang, you have to be cool like Daddy. Look how Daddy walks. Look how cool he is. You need to keep a gangster.
You need to keep a gangster.
Yeah, you need to be cool.
Don't laugh, I'm being cool.
I'm cool.
Even when you put a gun, you have to be cool like this. Boom! And you try.
No, I can't shoot people.
What?
I can't shoot them, they didn't do anything to me.
How are you going
to
do the heist with us if you don't shoot people?
I can't do a heist. Heist is a crime. I promised.
Hey, it's okay. Hey, let's worry about that later, okay?
There we are. That's Chappie, which is out March the 6th in the US and elsewhere. Sci-fi dystopian genre, artificial intelligence, machines are taking over the world. I mean, in some ways, you know, we've seen lots of films like this before. And, you know, it's directed by Neil Blomkamp, who, of course, did District 9, which was fantastic, I feel. Have we moved on from there? Is there something different about this that makes it stand out from the rest within that genre?
Well, it's based on his 2004 short called Tetraval, which is about basically a robotic police officer or a group of them. And we're thinking, well, it's kind of RoboCop a little bit, you know. It's actually more interesting than that. What happens is, I mean, you recognize the voice, that's Charlton Copley, whom Neil Blomkamp met when they were 16, and he's been in every single one of his films since. This is a renegade robot. It's one of hundreds of robots, and it gets damaged. And Dev Patel is the IT man at this military installation where they make these things. And he designs some hardware to make it conscious. So it's basically a South African... a gangster, I suppose, really. He is raised by them. It starts out almost as a baby robot and then gets raised. And it's very interesting that the design of the film is fascinating, and some of the questions that it raises ethically are very interesting as well. And Hugh Jackman's playing the bad guy.
Okay.
He's playing a Christian bad guy, which is pretty wild.
You mentioned Dev Patel, who obviously burst onto the scene with Slumdog Millionaire.
That's right.
Then he was in The Newsroom, which I just found so pious, the whole thing, that, you know, even if he was quite decent, yeah, so what? He was in those then very bad Best Exotic Marigold. things, which I think the least said about, the better.
Well, we're not their demographic. A lot of people love them. Frankly, I don't think they're written very well.
Yeah, but is this role his sort of... coming of age is perhaps a bit sort of wrong to say, but does this show him actually sort of stepping up and showing something different that he hasn't shown before?
Not really, no. I think he's good in it. He sort of... I think it's difficult for him. He's very, very likable on screen. He has a distinctive voice, and he has a lot of energy, and it fits in very well. But I wouldn't say that this is a big transformation for him, no.
He's just doing his thing, and he's quite good at it.
He is. You can't blame an actor for wanting to work, but absolutely
no,
right.
No, sure.
But you
can if they're in an M. Night Shyamalan film, he was in. Wasn't he in the last, what's it called, Airbender?
Yes, The Last Airbender.
I can't believe I remembered that.
That's amazing. You and I are the only people that saw that film. Automatically, don't. But this film is already set up for a sequel.
Okay.
Because of the way the ending is. There's an actress called Yolande Visser, who is amazing. She has a secret pivotal role in the film. And it's really is. Now, this is opened globally. So if you're traveling this week, you can catch this film. For example, Still Alice, really, if you wanted to catch it, it's really only opened in, you can see it if you're going to South America or Scandinavia or the Netherlands or France. But Chappie is opening worldwide, pretty much. So that's simultaneously in Europe, South America, Scandinavia, Mexico, because it's a half Mexican production, and Nigeria.
Let's move on, finally, to Wild Tales from Argentina. Before you talk about this, and you seem excited about talking about it, let's hear a little bit of it.
Invitaste a todos esos pelotudos a nuestro casamiento. ¿Qué hiciste?
Perdón que interrumpa. ¿No me permite una pieza con el príncipe?
Sí, claro, reina. Aquí está su príncipe.
Wild Tales there, directed by Demian Chiffron. And as we said before at the start, it was nominated for the Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars. What is it about this film that you think makes it stand out?
Okay, well, you know, my film of last year was Whiplash because of the pace, the way the story just grabbed you by the collar, wouldn't let you go. And Wild Tales is like six of those. In a row. It was one of the last films I saw because I tried to see every single one of the Oscar nominations. And boy, are my eyes tired at the end of that. But this is an Argentinian-Spanish black comedy is what they're calling it. And it was co-produced by the Almodovars, Augustin and Pedro. And it's chock full of very well-known actors from South America and elsewhere. And it is a series of six... basically unconnected films, short stories about human nature. And that sounds pretty broad, but it's basically about how people get along or don't when they don't like each other very much. Mm. For example, what we just heard, that was one of the last of the tales where there's a big society wedding and the bride finds out that her husband's cheated on her. They haven't even done the first dance yet. And she's just...
That's not a good moment to find that out, is it?
No, it really isn't. And he's kind of like, oh, you know, it was nothing, and nah, you know. And she's heartbroken. So she runs up to the top of the hotel where the wedding is happening, the reception's happening, and has sex with one of the chefs. And you think, okay, you know, we're getting that. But it turns out that these two are actually, without ruining this, these two are meant for each other because they're both... as mean and crappy as each other. And
the
husband. They were meant for each other because they are alike. And these stories are all about likenesses and differences between people. I realize that's incredibly broad, but the pace of the stories, the cinematography is terrific, the writing is splendid, and this is the kind of thing I put this on to watch it. And dinner got cold. You know, I was just glued. So I really encourage
people. Well, that's a good recommendation.
What
is it then that can help a film like this break through? Because, you know, one of the nominations for Best Foreign Language Film at the Oscars, it's from Argentina. Yeah, it'll appeal to a certain demographic.
Yeah.
But how does that break through in the way that some Latin American films have over the past 10, 20 years?
Well, a lot of it has to do with marketing. And I don't know much about the marketing of this film, but there is in America, for example, which has got a huge movie-going domestic audience, the Latin market is getting larger and larger there. And in fact, more Latinos and Latinas are going to the cinema than ever before. This is opening in, it's finishing up its round, so it's Canada, Turkey, and Norway. You can see it if you're traveling there. I think the fact that the storytelling is so visual, you don't need to know Spanish to understand this. The subtitles are perfectly fine. It's a beautiful film, and it's the kind of film that word of mouth is going to really power. Also, it's amazing that it got nominated for an Oscar, because in itself, that is amazing. The process that the foreign films have to go through is mind-boggling. Mm.
And just finally, one word on the director, Damien Chiffron. Is he, do you think, the sort of director who, and you know, certain people in Hollywood or certainly within the independent film industry in the US will be thinking, you know, you can make the transition to a bit further north?
Well, I mean, he works primarily, he works a lot. I mean, he's a screenwriter. He also works in television. Iñárritu, of course, a Mexican director, and there's a lot of Mexican directors transferring over into Hollywood. Some of the directors don't want the hassle of working with Hollywood.
No.
Because they get the stories diluted, they lose control, and terrible things happen. But I think the quality of his directing, the fact that it's like a series of short stories, however, might not endear him. But it would be great if Hollywood did take a notice.
Okay. Wild Tales, that was before we talked about Chappie, and we began with Still Alice. Karen, if you had to recommend just one? Sorry.
Oh, gosh. I can't. Okay. Chappie, if you just want to see something pretty wild and current.
Yeah.
Still Alice, if you want to see something emotional and meaningful. And Wild Tales, if you just want to be entertained and dazzled.
There we are. Karen Krasanovic, thank you very much indeed. You've been listening to The Monocle Arts Review with me, Steve Bloomfield. Our producer was Holly Fisher. Tune in on Monday when Francesca Gavin will be in to tell us the art shows we should be looking out for. But for now, thanks for listening.